Hopefully you're not surprised that I'm leading the service and Kate's on holiday. If you were expecting to hear from Kate, I hope you're not too disappointed. But, okay, so instead of Kate's facts, because I can't possibly compete with her facts, because normally
Okay.
the first Sunday of the month would be, well, we're normally, I mean, back in the day before Zoom, the first Sunday of the month would be all age. So we'll go with that all age kind of theme today, and I'm going to invite specifically supernovas to start with, and then everyone can join in to have a little bit of show and tell, like we start off our supernovas group time with. But as I've mentioned earlier, it's a on the theme of copies, so we're going to have some show and tell on copies. And I think Lydia's really keen to go
She's
first. I don't
already
know.
not is going first.
She's already.
Go on then, Lydia. You tell us what you've got.
Oh.
What's your horse's name?
A foal. It's a foal.
What's his
It's a
name?
foal. Very
Oh.
nice.
I haven't decided a name.
Okay. Very
I
nice.
haven't decided a name for a big one.
Very good. Beautiful. Thank you, Lydia. And oh, Charlie, what have you got, darling?
This Hornby train is based on the 264.
Oh, is that
Oh.
an accurate to scale model of the real train?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
Yeah.
nice.
Nice.
Like, called Smoky Joe.
Okie Joe.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlie. It's nice.
Lovely.
Who else?
I have a globe.
Oh, nice, Dan.
I've got a copy of that. Who's that?
Dan was showing us a globe, Val. So he's
Dan,
got a
this
globe.
is.
That's a good.
Oh.
Perfect, yeah.
Copy of the world.
Thank you.
I think we've all got one of those somewhere.
Yeah. Has Naomi got something?
Sure.
I've got a trolley.
Oh.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put mini shopping in there. Tiny
Yeah. It's from M&S.
Oh.
Ah. And
Oh, gosh.
does it actually work? Do the wheels go round?
Trolleys is really Halloween.
Yeah.
It's very much scary.
Very good, very good.
And the piece that it connects, it's up, connects
Oh.
other trolleys.
Oh,
Very
wow.
good. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Nice, Naomi.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Val, were you going to show us something?
Yes, I've got a copy. Well, I copied it from a pattern, so I suppose it's a copy. It's a child's jumper.
Oh, very good. Is that for
I
Freddie or Felix?
can't sit and do nothing. No, it wouldn't fit them now. No, it might fit Gabriel.
Okay.
It's about that sort of size. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I have something
Right.
that would go with the with Smokey Joe.
Ah.
What have you got?
Ah.
Oh.
Oh, is that a new addition to the diorama?
It's been around. Well,
Oh,
I built
wow.
the church itself a little while back, but yeah, I'm integrating it.
Nice.
It's a fairly accurate model of a very, very small church on the Isle of Wight.
Okay. Ah, impressive.
Yeah.
Impressive.
I still don't have any model houses on my Hornby track yet. I still don't
Oh.
have any.
These things take time, though, Charlie. They're a work that, in progress for years and years, building up something beautiful.
Yeah, just
Yeah,
look at how
not to
long
be
I've
found.
been asking.
Christmas is coming.
How long have you been doing yours for, Rob?
Oh, well, it kind of got torn up and started again when we moved. But the predecessor had been moved from Banbury, so that was 20 years that that one found the construction.
Okay, fine.
And how long have you had a train set for?
Well, I had one when I was young, and then I had a
Okay.
lot of years when I didn't have my own house, and so it wasn't really practical.
Thank you.
Plenty of time, Charlie.
Anybody else wanted to show and tell something on the theme of copies? Ah, Steve.
Oh,
Yes, it's a
camper.
camper van, and me and Rachel, we differ. This is the only one we're ever going to get. Rachel wants a real thing. And yes, so there you go.
Okay, yeah, good. Lots of different examples of coffees there. Thank you for everybody.
I saw a copy when I was away. Does that count?
Oh yeah, go on, tell us about it. It's
Yeah,
show and
there's
tell.
a new toy museum's opened in Sidmouth, and there was a copy of the Titanic made from 22,000 match
Oh
parts,
wow.
and it
Oh,
took the guy
that's
about 21 years to do it.
Wow. That's a labour of love, isn't it? Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Wow. So many good examples. Thank you, everybody. We'll make a start to the main part of our service, and we're going to start with a song. Today, we're looking at earthly copies of heavenly originals. That's kind of like the theme of the passage we've got in Hebrews later on. But we can only really imagine how amazing heaven is, and the earthly copies that we've got here are really rather inferior. So our first song is kind of along that line of imagining how glorious heaven might be. It's a song that's called I Can Only Imagine, and fitting in with the all-age theme, it's actually, this does got matter, all the teenagers watched the film about this song before lockdown, so they know this song, but it's quite popular on the radio, so you may know it, but if it's new, you can just sit back and listen to the words, but do sing along. I'll mute everyone, and John's going to share. So even though we're looking at Hebrews at the moment, I really loved our summer series on Exodus. And so I couldn't resist jumping back a little bit to Exodus just to set the scene for today. So I'm going to read you a poem. It's not on the screen, so you can just sit back and enjoy it. If you're not keen on poems and you prefer just to read the original, it's from Exodus chapter 7 and it's verses 6 to 12. So you can read that if you prefer, or just have a listen to this poetical version of it. It's trembling before Pharaoh, filled with dread, Moses and Aaron did what God said. One a strong voice, the other tongue-tied, both in their 80s with God at their side. Let my people go, was their request. The Israelites, who you have repressed, why should I listen? Pharaoh sneered, belittling them, stroking his beard. Aaron threw his staff, God's loyal servant. Instantly, it became a serpent. Pharaoh, unaccepting, the king of fools, ignoring miracles that show God rules. He summoned magicians and wise men. They threw down their staffs. Poof! Snakes again. The court was mocking God's faithful too, thinking they'd won this reptilian to do. But that wasn't the end. Only a pause before Aaron's snake opened its jaws. It swallowed the lot, every last scale. Pharaoh went quiet, feeling quite frail. The incantations and tricks were only fakery, tripe, and baloney. Pathetic copies, a poor imitation compared to the God of creation. Don't be fooled by lies and counterfeits. Be wise, avoid fakes and hypocrites. Just a little kind of thought about what happened there between Moses and Aaron and the wise men of the Pharaoh's court. But let's have a little quiz. If you've got your paper and pen, I've got six little questions, and they're all about the musical questions about music songs that have been copied in the arena of football chants. So you may or may not know anything about football, and you may or may not know anything about music, but if you might have a bit of a from the words be able to guess one or the other. There's a mixture of songs from different eras, so if you've got different generations in your household, you might have a slight advantage. So let me share on a minute. Oh no, I've done it wrong, chef. Here we come. No, that's not right. No, that's not. So let me, any minute now, it's going to work. Okay, now hopefully you can see our first one. So number one in our quiz. So what I've done is I've given you the football team. This is Wigan. And I've given you the words of the song. And it's really hard to read them without making a bit of a tune, but I'll give it a go. He'll score more and more. I can't do it without singing it. He'll score more and more. He'll score more and more. And that's what's signed him up for. Will Griggs on fire. Your defence is terrified. Will Griggs on fire. Your defence is terrified. It goes on like that. And then na 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 na. So if you know what song that is, the band and the name of the song, then you could potentially get 2 points. So let's move on to the next one. Okay, far less words in this song. Gigs, gigs will tear you apart again. Now, that's from a different era, Man United song. So you may or may not know that song. Okay, give you a chance to write down the song and the band if you know who it is. Next one. I can't do this without, I can't read this without making the tune. Okay, cheer up, Peter Reed. Oh, what can it mean to a Sunderland supporter to the top of the league? Da-da-da. I might have given it away too much. So band, name of the song and the band. Here we go, another one. So this is, oh dear, it's really hard to do it. Hey, baby, I want to know Freddie Lampardo. Maybe you know the name of the original song and the band, or you might not. You might just recognise it. Okay. And it's a shame Kate's not here, especially put in for Simon. I'm trying not to do it with any tune. We all follow the West Ham over land and sea. We all follow the West Ham on to victory. That's not quite the right tune, but there you go. So do you know the name of the song and the composer, I suppose, would be appropriate question for that one. And the last one, couldn't go without putting an orange one in there as well, could I? So this is our manager and he's German. He's got a lot of German players in the team as well. So it's all the Germans, so many Germans. They all go hand in hand through their life. So there we go. So let's see. I'm going to unmute you all because I don't like just to myself. Okay. So let's go for the answers and you can see how you can get 2 points for each one, the name of the song and the name of the band. So the first one was Freed by Desire by Gala. So you have to be quite young, I think, to get some of these. So that was the first one. 2 points if you got the song and the band. The next one was Joy Division. Take us back. So one, that's another one. There we go. The next one was obviously Cheer Up Sleepy Jean by the Monkees. So 2 points if you got the band and the name of the song.
It's Daydream Believer.
Oh, was it? Is that the name of the song? So the name of the song is Daydream Believer.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. So if you've got the real name of the song, you could definitely have the point. Okay. And this one was Hey Baby. I didn't know who this one was. I could just sing it. By DJ, I don't even know how you say his name, Ozzy. So there we go. One for the younger ones again. And of course, this was Land of Hope and Glory. Now, Edward Elgar obviously composed it, but I suppose somebody else might have written the words. So there might be an extra point in there if people know who wrote the words to it. And the last one was Park Life by Blur. So did anyone get 12 points, all of them? 12 points, anyone? 10? Oh, very good there. Now, that's very encouraging from our musical leaders in the church to get the top score. Very good. What about 9 or 8? 7? 6? Oh, is it really hard? 6? Stevenson's, yeah. 5? Yeah, okay, yeah, we go. A couple of 5s. 4? Yeah, we won't go any lower. Yeah. So I think you were advantage if you had multiple ages. 3 there, John. If you had multiple ages in your household, it's probably helpful for the different ages. Okay, we're going to have a little challenge to do while we have the talk today, if that's you're that way inclined. So if you would like to draw or make a copy of something while we're having our talk, then please do, and then we can share them at the end. Otherwise, let's still get on with. So today we're talking about copies, and we've got lots of copies all around us, lots of different aspects of our life. So just like Val's knitting, I really enjoyed watching the Great British Sewing Bee, which was on just earlier in the year. And one of the challenges on this last series was to sew a copy of the Marilyn Monroe iconic dress. It's actually quite difficult. Another example of a copy was from quite a while ago here in our family. Richard wanted a dog, but it was before we had the boys. We were out at work all day. It just wasn't the right time. But I wanted to encourage him. So I bought him an ornament, a model dog, as a birthday present. And then toys. We've had lots of toys and don't suppose we call them all toys. Hornby stuff aren't really toys, are they? You know, copies of things. Some of them are very detailed, accurate scale copies. Some toys are much simpler and fun. So copies are often there to fulfill a desire for something that's unobtainable or unachievable. It's unrealistic to have a proper train set in your garden or anything. So a model is fulfills that need in another way. A Marilyn Monroe dress would make you feel glamorous and perhaps relive a time in history that you're interested in. For us, the model dog, it was a model of something that would offer companionship or whatever later. Children's toys are often about escapism and, you know, just playing and imagining stuff. All these copies are just hints of the real thing. And that's absolutely fine when you know you're dealing with a substitute. Nobody would expect that if you wear that iconic dress that you would suddenly become Marilyn Monroe. It's just dressing up, having fun, imitating. And you wouldn't expect an ornament or a model dog to give you the companionship and love of a real dog. It's just a commitment to that end goal. And of course, the imagined play, it's just for fun. It's to take you, it's escapism, like reading books and stuff as well, playing with stuff. It just takes you to another place. And we all know that we're dealing with copies when we've got these items in our hand. Nobody would think that there's a problem with working with copies in these kind of situations. But not all copies are quite as innocent as this. I'm going to play a clip in a minute. It's from a Netflix series called White Collar. I quite enjoyed it. And it follows a story of a skilled counterfeiter who was not that skilled that he didn't get caught. But when he did, he turned to become a criminal informant. And the series follows him as he helps the FBI uncover various other forgeries. So we'll just watch a little clip. It's only short.
Yeah, I do remember him. He came by several months ago, and then again last month. Took several photographs, said he was going to write a book. He's dead. Quiet. It was issued during the
1940.
The U.S. issued it to support the Spanish underground in their battle against the Axis. There's speculation that entire boxes are still hidden away in the caves of Altamira.
Full boxes.
Yeah. Boy, that would be something. Yeah. This is the surviving.
Except it's...
No, that's not...
It's Darren Gale Diamond.
No, this has been here...
Hey. So, in that clip, it showed us that when one or more parties don't realise that they've got a copy and that they think they're dealing with something that's real, that's when we actually have problems. When a forger successfully tricks an art expert into thinking they have something of value, we have a problem. And the passage from Exodus was the same as well. When Pharaoh thought that his wise men had changed their staffs into snakes, he thought he'd put himself in the same league as the originals. He thought that because outwardly those staffs all looked the same when they were snakes, that they were on an equal footing with God. But we know that behind the scenes there was a big struggle between good and evil. And we know, but Pharaoh hadn't quite grasped it at that point, that God is always going to be victorious in the end. And if he's not yet victorious, then it's not yet the end. And the wise men's copies were not the end of that story. In fact, it wasn't even the end of that small part of the story. Their copies were inferior and their inadequacies were demonstrated when Aaron's snake ate them all up. But enough of Exodus. We're going to have our reading from Hebrews today. Steve's going to read that for us. And then we'll have a look at how this whole idea of copies, whether they're, you know, realistic, copies that are okay to have, or whether they're copies of something that actually we should be focusing on something else. Then we'll have a look at how that all fits in with our Hebrew reading.
Okay. The reading is from Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 23. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all, at the end of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him.
Thank you, Steve. So Paul, who was the author of Hebrews, I think he's quite clear that the Jewish items and the ideas here are copies of heavenly arrangements. These aren't fakes that are being portrayed as a real thing, not like Pharaoh and the snakes. These copies are precursors to the real things, more like our dog ornament before we actually got our dogs. And then in these just six verses, I think there are three key comparisons between the old and the new covenant, or comparisons between the earthly copies and the heavenly originals. And the three comparisons we're going to look at is the earthly versus the heavenly sanctuary, the repeated and ineffectual sacrifices versus Jesus's perfect and complete sacrifice. And then the third one is the mortal priest, and then Jesus as the high priest. So let's look at those three things in turn. So the first one is from verse 24, where it said the sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. Now, we discussed the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle a couple of weeks ago back in Hebrews 8, where it said and they're talking about the priests when it was they serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the plan that was shown you on the mountain. So just like Pharaoh and his wise men learnt, we can't really get close to replicating God's creativity. I mean, just look at nature, look at the human body, and compare that to science, engineering, computing. In fact, all those man-made inventions, as amazing as they are, they're not a patch on anything that God's created. And even when God gave Moses very specific instruction for the tabernacle or the furniture, the vessels, the relics, still it was really quite a poor copy compared to what was in heaven. And the more I thought about this week, it's pretty miraculous. No, I think it is miraculous that God chose to reside in the Holies of Holies, because this man-made thing was really not good enough for him. It was a very imperfect structure, even though they followed the instructions that God had given to Moses. And sorry to pick on you, Rob, but I'm going to use your model, the ticket office that you showed us a few weeks. So a few weeks ago, Rob showed us the ticket office he'd made as part of his Hornby train set. And it's lovely. But no matter how accurately the details are scaled down, and regardless of how carefully it was made, it's never going to be suitable for dispensing tickets. It's a model. And when we think of the tabernacle like that, and the Holy of Holies, and all of those things that the Israelites made, it was so unsuitable and unworthy for God's presence. It was such an unsuitable replica. It's like saying a toy car is unsuitable for racing in F1. It just, you know, in comparison like that. And it is truly a miracle that God loved the Israelites so much that he would come down and be part of that temporary man-made structure. The tabernacle was beautiful. It was exquisite. But it was inferior, a very inferior copy of God's heavenly dwelling place. We can only imagine, going back to that first song, the glory of that real heavenly sanctuary that was a copy of. So that's our first copy. So verse 23 is our next copy. It said it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified. Now, we looked last week at the rituals, and verses 21 and 22 from last week sum it up. He sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything else used in the ceremonies. In fact, the law required that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness. So these ritual sacrifices needed to be made over and over again. They were never enough. And for me, that sounds a lot like when you're paying off the interest on a loan. The debt itself never goes away, but you have to pay certain amounts on certain deadlines to certain people. There's all these strict rules of how, and that's what keeps the consequences of the debt at bay. And even when the Israelites were making these animal sacrifices, the atoning blood was sprinkled just as per God's instructions. They were never enough. They just covered up the sin. They were never going to pay the debt. The whole debt was never going to be paid off by that process. But when Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice, he didn't have to do that repeatedly as the Israelites had done with the animal sacrifices. If he hadn't been perfect, then the passage tells us that it would have needed to be continual and constant, and it would have been since the beginning of creation. Imperfect sacrifices needed to be repeated. The perfect sacrifice, which was Jesus, was just a once and for all time sacrifice. His sacrifice was unique, fully adequate. It wiped away the entire debt of the sin. It wasn't just chipping away at the interest. It didn't mask the problem or temporarily put off the consequence. As Kate said last week, this one-off self-sacrifice put an end to all other sacrifices. It wasn't like the Israelites' ceremonial ritual, which was a copy or a substitute for what was really needed. This was transformative. It was a turning point in history. Nothing would ever be the same again. Humanity would never need to engage in insufficient sacrifices again. And then the third point is from verses 25-26, when it's talking about the high priests entering the most holy place every year. The Israelite high priests were specifically chosen by God through Aaron's family line, but they were human like us, so they were fallible like us, and they needed to go through these cleansing rituals to enter the Holy of Holies. This was an elaborate ceremony where the high priest could enter the sanctuary on behalf of the rest of the Israelites just once a year. But when Jesus became the eternal high priest, he was now sitting permanently with God. So it wasn't just on one day of the year after all these rituals had been performed, but it was forever sitting right there with him at his right hand. We hear that being said all the time, well, not all the time, you know, but we hear people saying Jesus sits at the right hand of God. And this is what it's all about. He sits there permanently. You might remember from the week we looked at Melchizedek back in Hebrews 7. It said, Jesus lives forever and he is a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to completely save those who come to God through him because he always intercedes with them. There was no more special days for just priests. And Jesus has now made it possible for everyone to be in communion with God all day, every day, whenever you want. He's accessible to us. The earthly priest rituals to intercede and atone for the people were an inferior copy of Jesus's perfect sacrifice that bridged that gap to God. Now, I've got an analogy for you here. Right, the bonds of a carbon atom in a graphite pencil are like the old covenant, okay? A carbon atom in graphite has four electrons in its outer shell, but it only has three bonds. So four electrons, but only three bonds. And that creates a 2D structure. And this is why we can write. The atoms slide in layers and they easily come apart, and that's why they leave a pencil mark on a piece of paper. Just like the Israelites' repeatedly yearly ritual, we have to repeatedly sharpen pencils to keep them useful. Now, the other part of this analogy is carbon bonds are covalent bonds, and if you remember anything from school chemistry, you'll know that they're extremely strong. The bond between God and Israelites was extremely strong. Graphite isn't really a copy of anything in the way that our other analogies were, but it has the potential to be more because that fourth electron is missing a bond. There's something more to come. Just like the old covenant, there was more to come. Jesus wasn't part of that yet, so it was incomplete, just like that that bond in graphite. Carbon atom. So when Jesus became the eternal high priest, it was like adding that fourth bond to that spare electron, taking it to completeness. Now, some of you will already know where this is going if you know your chemistry. What happens when you do that? You no longer have this 2D layered structure that you've got in graphite. The atoms are now arranged in a 3D structure, which we know as diamond. So there's no more slippy layers depositing graphite on a page. Quite the opposite. Diamonds are possibly the strongest thing on earth, very much unbreakable. It's why we use them for drilling. They're long lasting, but they're also beautiful. It had been a complete change from graphite to diamond by adding that extra bond. Just like It was a complete change in the relationship with God when Jesus took his place as that permanent and strong bond that beautifully secures us with God. And Jesus didn't just create a bond between God and the Israelites. That's what the Levite priest has done. Jesus transformed the entire structure. So as the heavenly priest has created a bond with God for all of humanity, not just the Israelites, and that includes you and me. So that bond, that relationship with God is now freely available to us without any cost, without any effort from us. Even if we have lots of questions and we don't really understand exactly what's going on, it doesn't really matter. All we need, the only thing that we need to recognize is that Jesus made that sacrifice, that he's our connection with God, that he paid for our sins on the cross with his blood, and those animal sacrifices are no longer needed. And that's an opportunity that all available to all of us. And if you feel that that's an opportunity that you would like to take up, then you just tell God and tell someone you trust that that's where you are. You want to be part of that relationship and part of that bond with him. So in summary, the sanctuary for God in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, although it was specifically designed by God and told to Moses, it was still a very constrained copy of the true sanctuary in heaven. Those repeated animal sacrifices that just covered over the outward signs of sin were an inadequate copy of Jesus's one-off, perfect, complete sacrifice that wiped away all sin. And the priesthood that was passed down through Aaron's line, it was a flawed copy of Jesus as that permanent, eternal high priest sitting at God's right hand, allowing all people to come into a relationship with him. So three, when you say them like that, quite simple concepts, but actually hugely transformative. For me, this study has been really interesting, a time to reflect on a question that I've heard more than once, which is, now that the Messiah has come, do we just ignore the Old Testament now? Because that's kind of irrelevant now. Now, our family has had four dogs over the years, but we haven't thrown away that old ornament that we had before we got our first dog, because that ornament has significance. It reminds us of a time when we were hoping and waiting. It helps us not to take for granted what we've got now. It's part of our history. It shaped where we are today. And I think it's true of the Old Testament as well. We don't follow the rituals and ceremonies of the Jews anymore, but understanding them gives value to what we have now. And it puts into context and helps us to understand the absolute enormity and the transformation of what Jesus' sacrifice did and what it means. And so I hope that that's been helpful and interest to kind of reflect on that passage and bring out those points. And we're going to spend a bit of time in prayer now. Maureen's going to lead us in our prayers. And then when we've done that, we'll come back and we'll have a look at the challenge, if anyone's done the challenge. So let Maureen and unmute her. You might have to click unmute yourself. Did anyone do the challenge? Did anyone make or draw a copy of anything? Oh, Lydia, I can see your hand up, darling. What did you do?
Naomi.
It's me.
Oh, Naomi, sorry. Go on then. Naomi, what have you got?
I drew a unicorn with a heart horn and a dog is mouth, a queen dog is and eyes.
Okay. Very good. Charlie. A copy of lots of different things. Yes.
Charlie,
what have you got? Oh, you're on mute, sweetheart. Unmute yourself and tell us what you've got.
It's a freight train.
Ah, very good. I like that because I had a nice little Hornby thing in my talk. So thank you for
and
that.
And look, you can take the track and the carts off and off.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, I like that.
And I've got four more of these little trains.
Oh, you've been very busy then. Yes.
I've got a blue one, a black one, a green one and a pink one. And this is my yellow one.
Very good. I like the colour coordination as well.
Wow.
Well done.
And it has a little thing at the back where all the smoke comes out.
I like the attention to detail. Very good. Anybody else?
I just copied our coffee pot.
Brilliant.
Very nice. Very nice. I'm looking for Conrad. Did Conrad do anything?
I was waiting for
No, not. I think it's there's too big, isn't it? There's copies of everything all around us. It's quite a it's too wide a challenge. Yeah. Well done. Thank you. We'll finish off with a song. It's a song that we did sing it together earlier in lockdown. So people may remember that. I mean, it talks about some of the things we've been reading about today. So it's got a higher throne, so the heavenly original place where God sits. One of the lines is, the Lamb becomes our shepherd king. So thinking about Jesus taking his place as that in heaven, as the that heavenly high priest. And also there's a line in there, made faultless through the Lamb. So talking about Jesus, that perfect one time, that complete sacrifice. So if I mute everyone and then we can thank you. And hopefully now, if you would like to stay around and go into breakout groups and have a bit of social time, then please do. Otherwise, perhaps we'll see you at the Bible study on Tuesday or as part of the 24-hour prayer on Friday and Saturday.